Sounds good to me. Well, would you open us in prayer first before we get to the hymns?
Dear Father, thank you for staying, and especially tonight, Lord, for bringing safety to the service tonight, Lord. Bless it, Lord, bring the great thing that's happening in your sight, Lord. Great thing that's worthy and honorable in our service to thee, Lord. And Lord, may the service go well. Especially the touch of the Spirit, Lord, and bless them and keep them, Lord. And Lord, bless each and every household that's represented today and tonight, Lord. Well, from this church and all the churches that preach thee and preach Christ crucified, honorably and truly, and according to the Bible, Lord. Lord, bear with us the sight of the people committed with the McMahon families, John, Carl, and Stephen, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And Lord, save their souls and bring them into, bless them and keep them safe and secure, Lord. And bring them to the Lord's house next appointed time, Lord, as well, Lord. Bear with Esther, Lord. Bear with her skin condition and her ailments, Lord. Help her, Lord. And stop her suffering, Lord. And heal her, Lord. And Lord, bring her into your house next appointed time as well. With Stephen Pat, Lord, with Stephen, his leg, Lord, and his condition, Lord, and his diabetes, Lord, and Pat, their diabetes as well, Lord. Help him and embolden him, Lord, and heal him also, Lord. With Farrell, as he's from Louisiana Manors up in Macrofield, Lord, help him, give him a beautiful him, and Lord, send a message to him as well, Lord, and beautiful him and keep him, Lord, as well, Lord. With the service, Lord, do everything, may we do everything as according to thy will, Lord, for thy honor and for thy glory, for Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. First number, first.
24 in the black book.
Black book. Get your claps ready and your swaying. You need to stand for this one as well.
You set me free.
Do you not remember Steve singing that at the front?
No.
Anyway, you'll probably remember once we sing it. Let's stand. Yep.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he said.
Set free. Anyone else got a hymn?
370.
Okay.
Throw out the lifeline.
Okay. We have it.
There is a brother upon the Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today and guard with the lifeboat away, then away. Throw on the lifeline, throw on the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon purr the mark where the dark waters flow. Throw wide the lifeline, throw wide the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw someone is sinking today. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw wide the lifeline and save them today. Throw
turn tonight to Psalm number 98 and Psalm number 99. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord our King, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Psalm number 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen.
I think we pretty much got through all of the announcements this morning, but just a reminder to get one of those little prayer lists, and don't forget all the prayer requests that we had. What isn't on that is Norman's thanks with help with legal things, and final week of work obviously for Will. He's about halfway through that at the moment with his holidays, so please do remember that. Everything else just is as it was. Just pray for everybody, and just to have a restful time if you're not out doing sightseeing and fighting your way through floods and things. What's the back road like this evening, Norman? Not too bad. Front, the main road's good too, but just be careful. Thank you. Brother, I'll let you
call somebody to pray about this one.
We'll pray before the sermon again. Sure. Anyone got a second or last benches? Third or last bench? Second with a person in it.
Ladies first.
Anyone?
3, 2, 5, trust in the bank.
Okay, that is a second bench with a person in it, so it's okay. 3, 2. You can close it. 4:10. Faith is the victory. Let's stand again for this one. Bibles out. We are continuing in Acts 13 tonight. From verse 13, we're reading through 42. And kind of as a continuation from last week's, this title is The Church with a History. The Church with a History. Didn't say it at the start, but it's good to see you all. Good to be in church during lockdown. It's a good time for church to grow, and all things are not called essential, but church is, so invite somebody along. And if you're listening, we invite you to come to the next service. It'd be good to have you. And it's good to have Taylor here too. Acts 13, beginning at verse number 13. It says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel
chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised unto him up unto them David to be their king, whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfil all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. They that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And when he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalms, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time in your presence, for the time that we've set aside this Sunday evening to meet together around your word. Please bless this time, Father. Please just put your good hand upon Christy and upon ourselves. And Lord, get past all of the things and nonsense of the world that might still be rattling around in our skulls. And Lord, please speak to us directly. Please be one of our number. Please inspire Christy, give him the words to speak. And I pray you, Father, please, that they would find a home in our hearts. We just love you and thank you. Don't just pray this for Christy, Lord, but for any man that is standing to preach the full counsel of your word. I ask it all, Lord, and of course for our private prayer requests and petitions. For those souls that aren't here, Lord, we remember them and we pray for them too. But we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. The church with a history. And last week we looked at the start of Acts 13 from 1 through 12. With the topic of the church with a mission, where we looked at Barnabas and Saul being in Antioch, and the Holy Spirit constraining them that they need to go on a mission, and the church of God laying their hands upon them and sending them forth that they should evangelize the world, sent with the purpose of world evangelism. Then we move on here and we see Paul and his company now continuing on their missionary journey. Throughout their missionary journey to this point has taken them through Cyprus. Then they went on to Paphos, where they found a certain sorcerer, and he opposed them. He stood in their way. There was a deputy that wanted to hear and desired to hear the words of God. But the sorcerer stood in their way and opposed them. Saul gets over his target and lays his eyes upon him, filled with boldness and the Holy Ghost. and says you're going to be blind because God's hand's upon you. You're perverting all the ways of the Lord. He falls blind, and the deputy's astonished at the doctrine, and he gets saved, the first convert of the worldwide mission that was about to take place from here on. Then they're loosed from that company, and they move on towards Paphos. They come to Perga or Pamphylia, which many suggested as we know it today as Turkey. And John Mark departs from them. We see he was brought with him from Jerusalem to this mission. We know later on in Acts 15 that this is a point of contention. It doesn't tell us why he left. Just tells us that he left. Was it he was afraid of the travel that was involved in the mission? Was it he lost confidence in Paul and Barnabas? I don't think it's in Barnabas, because Paul and Barnabas later have an argument about bringing Mark onto another missions journey with them, to which they separate ways in Acts 15. But we don't know. It doesn't tell us. All we do know is that he departed. And that's all right. That happens. Although we're looking at the church and showing some of the things we should be, just like the early church, they did have their problems, and they faced many oppressions, as we have expounded onto. But anyway, they move on, and they're in Paphos. It's the Sabbath day. They do as Jews typically do. They go to the synagogue. Here they're reading of the word. And typically in those days there was prayers offered up. Then they would read a portion from the law, the book, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And then they would read one of the prophets. And then there was an open call to the floor of the congregation to say, anyone got a word of encouragement, stand up, the floor's yours. Start preaching. And of course, Paul hadn't preached the message just yet. He had been there, not publicly yet, but here we have his first message. He takes the opportunity, and verse 16 tells us he beckons with his hands. He holds his hands out to the congregation. And his message is inclusive. In verse 16 he says, men of Israel, all you Jews, and ye that fear God. See, there was people amongst the Jews who hadn't fully committed to the Jewish religion. They were known as almost Jews or near Jews or God-fearers. But he wanted them all to hear this message. It was for everyone. It was all inclusive. Just like salvation is. And he goes through the history of the Jewish church. These were things that these people had been celebrating and given respect onto all their lives. So their parents had told them about at the dinner tables. So these were very real things to them that they could relate to. So Paul took them and he started preaching the history of the church. He tells how God chose an insignificant family, and of that insignificant family of Abraham made a great nation, Israel. And he made Israel great. They were strangers and they were slaves in Egypt, and that's all that they were. But God delivered them and made them citizens and sons of the promised land. And what a great testimony that is, because God took an insignificant soul in you and me, a stranger in this land, and made us citizens of heaven when we went to the foot of the cross. God loved Israel. It says that he suffered their manners in the wilderness, their infidelity, spiritually speaking, as they traveled through lands and they had seen their neighboring cities and countries worshiping false gods, and they turned from God through their lack of vision, and they start worshiping these gods as well. But God stayed true and stayed faithful to them, even under the repetitiveness of them turning their backs on him. But he guided them through the wilderness. He provided for them manna daily, twice on the day before the Sabbath, so they could eat on the Sabbath as well. Had their clothes, Mark made mention of it this morning, their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. Many times God was angry with them and chastened them, but he didn't destroy them. He kept them going and he guided them through. It talks about when they had battles with the seven nations in the land of Canaan, and God giving them victory there as well, is what he says. And then it tells about the time of the judges right up until Samuel for 450 years. 21, God gives us our desires. They desired a king, and I remember reading about that, and they only wanted a king because the nations around about them had a king. That is the only reason. But God was their king. God was leading them as a king of his people through the wilderness. Through all the troubles and trials and battles that they had faced, God was on their side, just like a king would be to his people. But it wasn't good enough. They wanted someone they could look upon and see with their eyes and feel with their hands and smell with their noses. rather than faith, they chose sight. So God gave them Saul, who we all know how that went. It was great while he was small in his own eyes, and when he got big in his own eyes, it went terrible for him. And it moves on, and God delivers David, a man after his own heart, it says. And David was no stranger to trouble or to old devilment. We know he committed adultery and conceived a child, and the child died. But he was a man after God's own heart. Verse number 22 says, he shall fulfill all my will. So he was a man that was willing to follow God's will. Point I missed earlier on, it says in verse 13, sorry for jumping back, Paul and his company. He was on this mission journey, and even as early as verse 7, it was only Barnabas and Saul and John Mark. They had obviously been preaching the word, been faithful, and gained a few followers on the way. And it's nice to have company on your journey with God in this life. But it moves on and says the promise that God made us of delivering the Messiah, of bringing the Messiah through his people, he delivered through David. In verse 23, of this man seed of God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. This is Emmanuel, who shall save his people. Prophesied of many times in the Old Testament, here we have the fulfillment of it through the lineage of the king of the children of Israel at that time. It goes on then of the proclamation of the Messiah, and he uses John the Baptist, and most of them probably heard or encountered John the Baptist in their lifetimes. If they hadn't had direct contact with him, they certainly would have heard about him challenging the king, about him refuting all the sin of the day, and even about his death when he was beheaded. And he tells them, look, you know John the Baptist, you've heard of him. He had said that he wasn't the Messiah, but he is coming after him, and he is not worthy to loose the shoes of his feet. Mm-hmm. Remember, John said that he must increase and I must decrease. Give him his proper place. Paul got to preaching. He looked at the history and he seen the dots all throughout the children of Israel, and he connected them, and it pointed to Jesus. It all led to Jesus. And that's why the church needs a history. Not only the church as a building, not only the church as a local church and authority, not even the invisible church, but us as the church, as individuals, as temples of the Holy Ghost, we need a history. And God has a plan for our history. Why? Because then men, when men are in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and there is that call to the congregation, a Paul the Apostle of the day can stand up and say, do you remember Bethel Baptist Church of Derry/Londonderry? How God worked with them. How they stood against sin. They were a light in a dark world. That's why we need to be a church with history. Paul knew their history, and the Israelites are very fond of history even to this day. And so we ought to be. History matters. But then he moves from John and he starts proclaiming. Paul the Apostle proclaims Jesus. He tells them, this is for all of you who are of the stock of Abraham, of any among us who fear God. Anyone that will hear, it's for them that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers as well. He tells them that they knew not the Messiah he had been, but they knew him not. And he tells them that they have even fulfilled the prophecy by condemning Jesus to death, is what he says in verse number 27. Goes on to talk about his trial. Even when there was no cause of death, the people desired that he would die. I just got to thinking very recently, when they were crying out for that prisoner to be released, Barabbas, release Barabbas, they were actually crying out for the release of themselves. Because Jesus sets free not only Barabbas, but he sets free any and all who will come to him by the cross of Calvary, by that trial. Even though there was no cause of death, it was the price of our freedom. Mm-hmm. It says that when they were finished with him, when Jesus had cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in the sepulchre. And I love when it says, but God. But God raised him from the dead. And there hasn't been to this point in Acts a sermon where the resurrection hasn't been the key point in the gospel. There is no gospel without the resurrection, and there's no resurrection without the gospel. They're part and partial. They go hand in hand. One without the other is non-existent. It is the presentation of the gospel when the resurrection is mentioned. And this is the climax of the sermon, of Paul's first sermon. It talks about the history. It talks about what the Jews had done and their sins that they committed through their fathers. And then it gives a solution to the problem. God raised them from the dead. You might have killed them. You might have meant it for bad, but God used it for good, just like he did with Joseph. And here he was sent to preserve life forevermore. He goes on to talk, and I'm just skipping over a few verses here. Talks about the comparison with David and Jesus not seeing corruption after he was raised again. He was seen of many people, many witnesses, and they're the witnesses to this day, is what Paul says. And he goes on in verse 38 and he says, make no mistake, the very man that I'm telling you about now is how you can be forgiven of your sin. And I want to dwell on 39 just for a few seconds, because we know the contentious theories or doctrines around the word all. And here we have it twice in the same context, but applied to two different things. The same overarching thing, but within that there's two separate strands. So we have all in terms of all people, and we have all in terms of all sin. Now, if all doesn't mean all, does it mean all people but not all sin? Or does it mean all sin and not all people? But it can't mean two different things in the same verse, in the same context. It all means all. So either, if all doesn't mean all, then only some people are saved, but those who are saved are not saved from all their sin. But if it does mean all, that means all who believed on Jesus are forgiven and justified of all their sin. And that's exactly what it means. God says what he means, and he means what he says. But God was patient with the children of Israel. He suffered their murmuring, their complaining, their crying. And when I look at my own life, I can attest to the patience of God Almighty. When I have looked back through the course of my 27 years, I've failed him many times. I know it's not a long time, but it's long enough to fail God multiple times. When I look back and see how wicked deeds I have committed, how unfaithful I have been, how I have complained and been selfish, God has been patient. God slowly chipped off the spare parts that don't need to be there, those parts that make the sculpture look ugly. He's chipped them off, slowly and surely, and there's still some to go yet. But the patience of our Lord is salvation, the Bible says. And I'm thankful for his long suffering. And he was certainly long suffering to Israel, whilst he greatly blessed them. And thank God for his goodness and his long suffering. But justified, it's a legal term. It means that you're acquitted and you're free. I'm jumping back to 39. I jumped away from it again. Justified from all things. Which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses wasn't to justify any. It was to show them all that they needed to make a sin offering once every year to God, a blood atonement. But it was a repeated sacrifice. As you sinned again the next year, you needed another sacrifice to cover that sin. But here, this sacrifice, this blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, covered all sins, covers all sins, past, present, and future. It covers the complete history of a soul. I love what it says about the Gentiles. The Jews weren't so keen on it, on the message that was preached, maybe because their forefathers were the cause or the center of this sermon by Paul the Apostle. I don't know, but they cleared out the synagogue, and verse 42 says when they got out, the Gentiles got in, and they begged Paul that he would preach that same message to them the next Sabbath day. And what an appetite for God's word. They begged them, please come and preach this. And to this point, Paul hadn't been preaching to the Gentiles. He was in a Jewish synagogue. He was preaching to the Jews and those that were near Jews. But God has a man for every purpose, mm-hmm. and a purpose for every man. And soon we'll see Paul the Apostle being the disciple or the apostle to the Gentiles as he's known, as he goes on his mission journey and further preaches God's word. Let us have an appetite for God's word. Let us take heed of every step that we take that will be marked down in history. Let us be careful in all that we consider in our words and do good unto all them, especially those of the household of faith, the Bible says. But we are walking our very history that men will look back upon.
Mm-hmm.
And we can write the story. The page is blank. God has a plan, but so do you. So does Satan. And it's up to us which plan we follow and what type of history we want this church to have. And that starts with the history of each individual in this room. We're setting the tone for a future Paul the Apostle to stand in this very pulpit and say, well, there once was a missionary who came and started a church. And then there was a crowd of ones who continued it on after they went home. And they stood and they stood in the face of adversity and they obeyed and they trusted and they prayed. And then maybe through that history and whoever stands here to share it in the future, a soul will get saved. Or a soul will be encouraged to walk along that way a bit further. But we'll look back in the history in heaven as well when the rewards are given out. Let us pay heed to the history that we're writing. Amen. Let us be a church with history. Closing hymn from any. Taylor, you have a...
320.
Dying with. I don't know it.
That's where the adventure begins.
Oh, to be like thee.
Is it in the music machine? I know it.
Do you want to lead it?
Oh, I'll do your best, probably.
Oh, goodness.
Step out in faith. Turn it up.
Play a verse.
Put in an extra verse there so we can listen.
No intro, just six verses?
Yep, I don't think.
Jesus, thy perfect.
To preach, Lord, be with them also, Lord, and give us a spirit to reach out to those who are lost and to edify and to chase maybe those who are saved as well, Lord. Be with us tonight, Lord, depart us in safety, Lord, and when we do everything in our service, Lord, and according to thy will, fully honor for our good, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Amen.